please kneel. And on the two knees. And as you bring around, whichever leg you would like to bring around, as you'd like, whichever leg, left or the right one, see if you can recall that notion that we had of tilting the head to one side, letting the arm go down, freeing the one leg, bringing it around, setting the foot down. Yes, you tilt to one side, you find whether the ribs on that side soften, the head hangs, but you shift your weight onto the same side, onto the same side that you're tilting, so the other leg becomes free, and you can bring it around the side and stand on the foot. And see if you can look around a little bit so that your knot's just not around, literally around, but just a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, a little bit up, a little bit down. Yeah, so you start with the two on the two knees. You let the weight of the head and the weight of the arm take your weight a little bit off the leg that you're trying to move. And then you slowly take the leg around, bring the foot to standing. Until you stand with the right foot on the floor and lean on the toes of the left and put your left hand on the floor, so as you've done before, and see how it is to lift your pelvis. And set it back down. And then actually begin to do something a little bit different, which is you're still on that right foot and the left toes, but you keep your weight a bit more on the front leg. So you still use the back leg, but you keep your weight on the front leg, but in a way that you can straighten the front knee. So that's a lot of discretion to you. So you don't shift your weight perhaps as much as you have been shifting it in the back. You think you incorporate the straightening of the left knee as well. And then sometimes you shift your weight a little bit further back. Sometimes you let it be on the front. Sometimes you do both. So you become a bit more self-directive about which leg you're on. Think about how the length of the spine from the coccyx to the head, and then take a pause. Come up to be on the right knee and the left foot. Put the right hand down, tuck the right toes, and just bring the pelvis up. And first shift your weight really attentively backward. And there was, of course, will be some weight on the front leg, but the attention is, as we've done it before, more backward. And then begin to play with having a bit more weight on the front leg than before, if you want to put both hands down, or if you want to have an elbow or forearm leaning on the knee, do that. And then stay here. What you can even do is stay someplace with the pelvis lifted. I don't know how high or how not high. And then just shift your weight a little bit forward, a little bit back, a little bit forward, a little bit back, a little bit forward, a little bit back. And do you need to lean a lot on your hands, or can you lean very little on your hands, or just actually touch a little bit with your fingertips of one hand, or no hands even, if that's possible. And the back knee doesn't have to be completely straight, but let the pelvis be as high as it can, and the head in its place for that. Good. And leave that and rest on your back. Now we begin to inch into some different things. So come to stand on your knees with the right foot, left knee. Right foot, left knee. Right foot, left knee. Put both hands in front. And now tuck the toes of the left foot and lift your pelvis, but mostly what you're just lifting is so you can lift the knee and you can lengthen the left leg back. So you lift the knee and then just stretch the left leg far away from yourself. So you don't lift the pelvis that high now. You actually need to slide the toes of the left leg. So you're in a kind of a lunge. You're in a lunge and your weight is supported on the two hands. And then you have mostly it's on the hands and on the front leg, yes? Mostly good. So now begin to take the right heel a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left. A little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left. In this big lunge, right and to the left. And then take the heel to the right and then take the toes to follow the heel. So as if you're walking your foot rightward. You're walking your foot rightward. And you can walk in an arc. You can move your hands. You can follow your hands.
And keep on going to the right.
Keep on going to the right, yeah. Keep on going to the right. Keep on going to the right. You can and let your hands follow. Let your hands follow so your head follows. You're just a funny creature whose only fixed point are the left toes, and even those can pivot on the ground. The rubber things are here, and then come to the front again. Come to the front again. So the pelvis, you're in a lunge, so the pelvis is actually as low to the ground as is possible with the left leg straight. So the left leg is straight, back behind you. You're on the toes. You're in a lunge. Most of your weight is on the front leg. And you just, the only fixed point are the left toes. And even those are allowed to pivot. Right? Those are allowed to pivot. That's it. So you are a creature with three movable paws and one fixed one. That's it. And of course, in order for your pelvis to be as low to the ground as possible, your left leg has to be as far back as possible. That's it. And this creature also breathes. Good.
That's so bad. That's great.
Yeah.
Make
sure. Lie on your back. Lie on your back. Did you get tangled up in each other's movable limbs or no? No. Mm-hmm. Good. All right, so come up again. And this time your right leg is long behind. So get it there in any way that you want. You don't have to really start so much with the two knees and all this. Just get to the place where you are on the left foot and the right leg is long behind and you're on the toes and you are, your hands are, and just start, first just move your heel a little bit left, a little bit in and out, a little bit in and out to put your hip joint on alert. So the knee turns a little bit and that's it. And then begin to travel around the right toes. Yeah, the right toes. The right toes stay more or less. That's your fixed paw, right? That's your fixed leg. It can pivot, but it doesn't walk. And the other three limbs walk. The hands, the left foot, and the left foot travels once the heel, once the toes go. Put your hands in relation to wherever you want. And think of the length from the coccyx through the top of your head. So we're not, don't turn yourself into a humpy creature. Round your back. So can you sink your hip joints forward? Can you sink the That's it. See, that this is the thing, because to free the left hip joint, you want to lift the pelvis so there's a little bit more room, seemingly, for the movement of the left hip joint. So the trick is, no, keep the pelvis down and let room be found in spite of the fact that your pelvis is low. That's it.
Good.
If you're enjoying the preparation for what's coming next. And rest on your back. Can you possibly imagine doing that without the hands, just the two legs managing it?
Oh, I can imagine.
You can imagine. That's good. Thank you. I didn't say, can you do it? Can you imagine? So do so. Imagine. Imagine. You wouldn't have to be, you know, look at the advantages of the situation. There are advantages too. If you use just the two legs and you don't have to touch with the hands, what advantages can you think of? You're upright, exactly. That's exactly it. You're upright. So in fact, it might be easier than when you have to have your hands on the floor. Can't you just see yourself long and tall and upright with one leg really far back and squiggling around? So I'm just going to give some time in case anybody actually would like to try it, because maybe it in fact is easier. So maybe start from standing, since you already are upright then. Come up and stand. Come up to stand. And take one leg back. And as you lower yourself so that the front leg is back. Yeah. And if you need to touch the floor, it's still there. I'm not taking that away. Good. Okay. And you can be as upright or as downright as you want. And go ahead and walk around. Yeah. No, yes. No. Anybody want like walking sticks or something? Ski poles. Ski poles. So it's really a lot easier if you remember that the back foot can swivel, right? If those toes can't swivel. And by the way, put your, like in the back, you know, where are you on the ball of the foot? Like if you put a peg, you know, our famous peg that we put in between the first and second toe, so then you just pivot around that peg. Because you do want to have some support probably from that back leg. There you go. So I don't know if it's easier than what you were doing before, but certainly it's possible since it's happening. What did you say?
No.
No, okay. And then, of course, if it's possible with the one leg forward and the other behind, the likelihood then is even greater that it's possible on the other side. The other arrangement of legs. Yeah. Some people are telling the whole story with their arms and chest. It helps, huh? Wave at each other. Well, I have to tell you, it's just like at some point, when you teach kind of movements and begin to get the feeling that you could be maybe like in a home for special kind of people. Some are sitting, some are, playing cards, and some are struggling.
Some are sitting,
or you're
such a nice
group. Okay. So here's the next thing. What variety of things can you do once you've got one leg forward and one leg behind and you have some greater sense of how to use the legs? So come on up to stand. You choose which leg will be forward, which leg will be behind. There will be no more squirreling around. It will be something else. So take one leg forward in a lunge, right? One leg forward in a lunge. And in the back, in the back, it's like just, don't twist the foot. Really have it be on that, on the peg between the first and second toes. And now, for the moment, being upright, could you hop on the front leg? Just hop the front leg. So the back foot stays where it is, and you hop the front leg. So hopping has you, hop the front leg. You see, everybody does something a little bit different. Can you hop without taking your weight so far back onto the back leg? So you just hop on the front one. Now, hop is different than kill the fly. Right? Kill the fly is kind of boom, and that's it. Hop is something kind of ongoing. But not on the back leg. Just the front one. So that means that what is the task? Your sunken stage really long and open in the back hip joint, right? And it's the front so that it's back with hopping. If you want to hop up, you probably have to go down to come up higher. So one of the things that makes it awkward is if you don't sink before you hop up, but you just kind of try to hop up. That's not hopping. That's levitating, and it doesn't really work very well. Some people have been trying since the 70s. So remember that for a hop, you need to sink down before you go up. So, great. Just do your best. Great. Stand a moment. Stand a moment with the bed. See? Nice and bouncy and soft. Almost spring-like. Almost like on a trampoline. And the toes are still, the pads of the toes are still on the floor. It doesn't matter. Right? They're still hopping there. Change which leg is in front. Right now, your arms have not been pre-assigned. They will be in a minute. So you can do anything you think might be useful with them. Okay, so one thing is the sinking. So the sinking means what? The sinking means your front knee has to bend, your front ankle has to bend, and the front hip joint has to bend more, which means that the sitting bone on that side has to go down to the floor, while at the same time it has to open in the back leg. It's huge what you're doing. Which is why what you want to do is go backwards. So see if you can actually have your head be going up and down in the same spot rather than going backward. There you go. That's it. See? Whoops. Went backward that time. Yeah. Stand and walk around and maybe it's the hard thing is the sinking here, that this sitting bone sinks, because what most people do is you go really far forward. See what you do, this is yet another circumstance in which you can
put the eyes on
fool there. Yourself into thinking that you're using the hip joint when you're not, right? So what can happen is, I have my right leg forward, my left toes are behind, so I can sink by only using
bending my ankle, right? Mm-hmm. See, I'm actually bending my ankle, the knee is bending, but my hip joint is not bending anymore. And then what I have to do is I have to go forward, which means that then when I hop, I'm going to go backward, and then I'm going to go forward. I'm going to make a nice up thump with the leg, with the foot. So it will be mostly the knee and the ankle. Mostly the knee is the one that's going to get in trouble. So the question is, can I actually sink the right sitting bone? Can I sink the whole ridge of bone where the adductors attach, the pubis, the sitting bone, and in between? Can I sink there? So as I go lower, the hip joint bends more as well. If I can do that, then when I hop, if I don't try to talk at the same time, I can't hop that slowly, so excuse me, I'm going to have to go. So if I can go here, then I actually just more hop upward. My head just goes upward. But if I've gone forward and haven't used my hip joint, then I have to push off the floor and push myself back and fall forward again. So if you'd like to have another go of watching somebody else do it, or if you'd like to have another go of yourself, put your hands on yourself. See, this is the extraordinary thing that I find. You can use certain relationships under one set of conditions, befuddle the conditions, or make them more complicated and relose it. So there's a... Yeah.
So light.
And then it becomes light. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can fly up. Like a feather. Yeah.
Or
the back leg, but which joint of the back leg? Wait, one would be the knee. And the other would be that other hip joint, the ankle and the other hip joint. Mm-hmm. Like the other hip joint, which if the right hip joint is going to flex, not because I'm bending forward, not because I'm lifting the leg, but because I'm sinking down, right? That hip joint, then the other one has to open even more. So the resilience in the other leg is in the ankle and in the hip joint. Don't think of the hip joint, think of the ridge of bone to which the adductors attach.
Oh, that feels different. Also, I find where your toes point is really important.
The toes in the back or the toes in the...
The back have to be pointing front.
Have to be pointing front, because that orients your femur inside the hip socket in a way, yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's clever, Peter, because when you're facing the wall, then you can actually tell... If I'm at a wall and I'm close here, I can tell whether I'm going away without thinking that I am, or whether I'm actually hopping.
Are you using your back ankle? Like actually, using the
balance? No, I'm just allowing it. No, I'm just allowing it. Just allowing it. It's a really great, you get kind of like a horse underneath, you know, that would activate you from below, and then you could get everything else worked out, or something like that. All right, walk around, because...
Yeah,
just got really tall, Peter.
Yeah.
Wow. We still have a bit of time.
If your rate of growth continues like it has in the last 10 minutes, I think we'll have trouble getting you out of this. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other thing. So far, so we've worked it out, right? We've worked it out forward. Many of you are really working out forward and upright. So there's two ways to expand that, shall we say. One is to hop a little to the side and then hop around to the other side so that the back toes are still there, but again, they become this pivot. So that's one path, and I'm going to tell you the other one, and you choose the one that you want to go first, but it might be nice to go down each one. And the other is to not do this hopping upright, but to actually bend over. And initially what Moshe says is you put your hands behind on your pelvis like an old chassid. And I'm sure that those of you who've been to Israel will assure us that Hasid's go around popping
all the time.
But if you go like this,
just shuffle along.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember, this is all happening in Tel Aviv, so we're, you know, this is the origin of the stuff. So again, but you know, the bending over, bending forward are words that are a trap. Because it's not forward, because again, now you're way over your base of support. So it's not just folding here, but it's that then takes, again, the two hip joints a little bit backward. Not so much that you're now on the back leg, but enough that your mass stays over these two legs. And if you can get your toes to stop working, like mine are, then you find out that you can now also pop.
Nice. Nothing is obligatory.
He had a lot of time on his hands.
Nothing is obligatory.
Acceptance from the other.
One wonders. Okay, so whichever you want. First upright and then kind of hopping a little left and right, or this whole notion of. But it's not just the hands behind the back, right? And folding forward. It's really thinking of where the... You know, or you can do something intermediate. The arms behind the back is just like, okay, forget it. You know, what's she going to do next? Put the arms behind the shoulder blades or hands. It's just also, you know, maybe have a little, you're not going to be able to lean on your leg, otherwise you'll never be able to jump up. But this will give you a little bit of an inclination, and that is maybe on the way to this. So remember that in order to jump up, you first have to sink. So if you're feeling stuck, it's probably because you are starting someplace and from there you're going up instead of sinking. Just like, everybody stand up, walk around, and we'll do it just like in a moment. Shall we double up next? More up. So if you find yourself any spot to stand and hop, so you go from straight legs, you're definitely going to bend your legs, bend your knees, bend your hips, turns that way. Right? But what will you do if you start already from a little bit like a ski position and you had to hop? Would you go from there and try to push yourself up? No, you would go down and hop, right? So do that several times. Realize that even if you stay a little bit in a ski position, before every up, we're going to go down. Right? See? And when you go down, it's not just bending the knees. Your hips go a little bit further back. Right? Hips go back. Knees bend more. Ankles bend more. Especially if you really are going down low. Yeah. All right, walk around some. And then implement that basic principle of going down before you go up when you are in a straddling position. I think we have one already over there. Alright, so put yourself someplace, maybe not at the extreme lunge. Put yourself someplace where you feel like from there I can still go down. Now when you go down, watch here for a minute. When you go down, it's fantastic to think about the front leg. But if you go down and you don't allow the back heel to go down, you're not going to get down very far. So the leg behind, right, the going down opens the hip joint of the back leg and brings the heel of the back leg to the floor.
When you go down.
The reason, what you do when you go down is you bend your knee. Right. If you don't bend the knee, you don't make that joint available, then what has to happen is so maybe just do like a little bouncy. Don't hop yet. Just do a bounce like you're bouncy, like you're on a floor, like you are on a horse. That's it. You feel how you allow the back ankle to be springy. There you go. Now you've got it. Now I'm not worried about you jumping. Before that, what you were doing is you were
hurting my knee.
Yeah, well, it was or you were. Yeah, because
it was.
And the ink that was hurting your knees, was not going down to go up. You were just trying to push yourself up. There you go. Yeah. So, you know, when it's clarified in the bouncing that it's down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, then if you want to, you can add hopping into it or just take the other leg forward and the other one behind and just bounce a bit. Because again, what's the point of the hopping if it doesn't bring you to get the organization that is useful? So rather bounce than hop, but get the organization. There you go. Now, you see how elastic her toes are and her ankle in the back. Especially, every once in a while what happens is she bends the right knee. In the beginning she was keeping the right knee long, and then it has to go into the ankle and the hip joint. Alright, good.
Cool.
Walk around, and I think we're pretty much... Yeah. So, just briefly, to find out how the very initial movement of the first in the series was, find your mat, or if you don't need a mat, just kneel on the floor, tuck the toes back, put one hand down, and see what trouble or not there is in lifting your pelvis on both legs. Now, so use the back one. Right? Use the back one and the front leg. Use the back toes and the front leg. Mm-hmm. Lifting the pelvis. Lifting the pelvis.
There's nothing
there. No trouble. Yeah. And you can even, you don't need to lean on the hands. You can just be very, very light with the hands, or not at all. And if you don't even have to have the hands, then what you can do is you lift the pelvis up, you bring the back leg up to standing, and hello. And then bring the other leg back, only for kneeling down. So don't take it so far back that you're going to hop. That's it. There. And then lift your pelvis up and come to standing. Right. Yeah. And
this.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. It's like stepping up on a high boulder or a high stool. Great. Walk around. And of course, you know, in a minute, what we'll do is we'll just go loop right back to the very beginning of our 5 days together with the legs crossed. But another, you know, another element of balance, stability, moving through space is
all kinds of things where actually what you do is when you actually turn backward. Turn backward. But we've been doing a lot of down, up, you know, some turning forward. But a whole other dimension is placing the leg in such a way that you then turn backward without losing orientation and not knowing where you are.
Just jazz hands.
So that's just another, you know, element of where we can go in the future.
In the meanwhile, please just stand. Cross one leg over the other so that the foot is on the other side. And just how is it to stand like that? Now, as you shift weight from one foot to the other, and it seems to me that, first of all, the inner edges of the feet stay, so somehow length came in from very, very deep and high in the hip joints. Remember how we spent time discovering how high from the in the inner thighs the hip joints are? And how is it to keep track of what your head does? Is it clear how it can stay in the middle? And can you imagine, or can you even glance around the room? Like, I can really picture over here, you know, our two colleagues,
that I can come and by my arms. No, if my arms were long enough, or if you were a little bit closer to each other, there we go, good. I could put my hands right at C7, and it's so clear now with the two of them, and it is with others, but the two are just here, of how C7 shifts to the leg to which they're shifting, but the head stays in the middle.
There should be a
number. There should be. Yeah, really.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. So the nose, you could drop a plumb line from the nose, or if you were to put your hands like this and cover up the whole body, and just the head was there, there would be just this very slight shifting of the head left and right, but certainly not the massive shifting left and right that was happening before. One could almost say, like, I don't know, she just really seems to be like she's just standing there or sitting there.
Each other, close one eye.
Walk around a bit, and we'll cross the other leg in front. So do that. Cross the other foot over to the other side. This activity definitely looks a lot more sane than the...
No, not at all.
nor in some kind of, you know, Alzheimer's ward or something.
You know, it's amazing because I feel like I know I'm moving way less than I did when we started trying to do this, and yet it feels huge. Right? It feels really big, but I know it's small.
Well, you know what? I think, again, a plausible story is that it's small. It's smaller on the outside because there's much more differentiation on the inside.
Yes.
That would be my plausible story. It's why it feels so big. Yeah. So remember, we also did circles, right? We did circles around each of the feet. So cross whichever over whichever, and we did a circle around the front, the front foot, and we also then did circles around the back foot. So attending to the head, staying floating above. And if you still, if you would like to have a little bit of a aid, doesn't take much, you don't need to lean, show that just touching is enough to, just touching something is enough to evoke a greater sense of stability in the system. Great. And the part that I'm watching as I'm glancing around at all of you is that when the pelvis was either going backward or forward, in particular when it was going forward, when you went on the forward part of the circle, for many people what happened is it evoked a global flexion which pulled the head down. So somehow there's this whole length through the spine that allows the head to float, and that if the pelvis needs to go forward, that somehow the length is found in the spine without having to pull the head down. Really, really very striking, the in the forward and the backward part of the circles, that the heads are not coming away from the ceiling quite so much. Yeah, you can walk around the room, even amongst the people who are not yet walking. It's fine, we can all be doing slightly different. So if you haven't yet, then cross the feet differently, cross the legs differently, so one foot is in front and the other behind. And then go around each of the, and of course you can think about it as going, tracking it on the foot, or tracking it proximally through the relation of the, in the hip joint, the relation between the pelvis and the head of the femur, the ball of the femur. I wonder what it would be like with more beginning people, just in standing, cross legs but holding something. It's just before any ATM and after any ATM, mm-hmm. right? To use this not so much as the place in which to learn, but as a place which reflects what has been learned and takes it up to the next level of challenge. So it's incorporated there. Because there really is something about the child, the childhood developmental process where you see kids always seeking out the next challenge. Right? Mm-hmm. So there's something in the system that drives that and that actually thrives on it. It's like nourishment for it. And then at some point, we stop doing it. Right? At some point, we stop doing it. But it's surprising how it doesn't take a really big thing for it to be a challenge. It doesn't really take a balance beam. It can take just crossing your legs, right? Just crossing your legs. People just think you've got to go to the bathroom an awful lot of time. So lastly, perhaps, there's another, something else we've been tracking through the days, which is standing on one leg with the toes of the other one behind. Yeah, so we've done it in the lunge, and now we've done it also in the standing, with one arm forward, or both arms forward if you like, and I don't know which arm forward, and see how is it to lift that back leg without lunging. So you're standing on straight legs, long legs, like we did yesterday, and just the toes are behind, so your weight is is on the forward leg. And remember, the hand is not shoulder height, it's a little bit higher to encourage a slight upwardness. Okay? Everybody, even though, so the length from each heel to the top of the head. So don't think back, think lifting.
Don't think back, think up. So it's already been up, but start with the toes on the floor. So you have a place for which to think, and then think up. There you go. Oops, still thinking back. A little bit.
To help to think
that the heel and the sitting bone are be connected. Right? Yes. So walk around, because there's something, everything has a further possibility. Even the tall get taller.
Yes, it's really tall.
Don't you? Yeah.
That's
when you walk through the middle.
Yeah. So here's something that you could be interested in, which is you stand on the two legs, you take the toes of the one foot behind, you bring both arms a little bit forward, not quite as high as moments ago, just maybe tiny bit at or below eye level, and then you find how can you maintain a length from the lifting leg through the top of the head as you tilt the whole self on the standing leg. And remember, the standing leg has a heel, and the standing leg has a ball of the foot, and the sitting bone has something to do with the heel that is lifting. Something to do with the heel that is lifting. Okay. And there's really not much risk involved because you can come right back to the floor. Right? You can come right back to the floor. And you don't have to go far. Some people might end up going so that they're really parallel to the ceiling. Some people may go so that actually the hands maybe even touch the floor. And the foot then has to be really pointing to the ceiling. Yeah, without rounding the back, there's no restriction on how little or how far you've got to go. Take some steps, find a spot for the stand on the other leg. Configure the lengths from heel to top of the head, from heel to hip joint. And that's the coccyx and the sitting bones. The coccyx and the sitting bones belong to the lifting leg. They do not belong to the standing leg. They are in line. They are part of the length of the lifting leg. Walk that. And you could take it one step further. Which is, you can start maybe with the arms going wide or the arms going forward, but then you actually start pivoting yourself so that you're facing a wall that is 90 degrees. You're not facing the floor, but you're facing a wall to either to the right or to the left, depending which leg you're standing on, maintaining this whole length from the heel to the heel to the head. Yes, you do. It's all about that stand. You have to do it all around that one femur. All around the one femur. So the whole pelvis has to turn around the one femur. There are a couple of stools around if somebody wants to have a place to touch down with the other hand that's going down. Just to help you.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just kidding.
That sounds pretty strong. Anchoring with the standing leg, isn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's right. So you, yeah. And then you can just, like as well, you face the floor, you face the wall, you face the floor, you face the wall. And those who are doing it, it's like you can see, it's like the eyes, do they come along? Have you, attempted on the other leg as well? Great. Good. Yeah, the other leg also, it comes with the pelvis, so the turns, the toes, the turning. Yeah. Yeah, he talks about then that hand, the arm goes to the ceiling. One drops to the floor, the other goes to the ceiling. So you can start like this or you can start wide, right? Depends how.
The next challenge is to look up at the ceiling.
Not you thought it? You do it. Or simply to flip over to the mirror image again. And for the moment, we'll let you flip over the face side and then, you know. Right. Okay. Wonderful. Great. Walk around, find one of your compatriots from the stability quest and see how. And if your partner isn't here, one of your partners, then just find somebody. There are four people still walking around the room, so you will be able to find me. There's two partners. Or no, there aren't. You'll work it out. And you're gliding at the same time, yes.
And then sometimes the guy has to pick her up and she
has. I am in full admiration of those